It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual on this beautiful Thanksgiving weekend, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. But Carrie?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know what?
What?
We usually manage people's life, but today our guest, I think, can manage others' lives much better than some lawyer and some beautiful broadcaster like you.
I thought you were going to say broad. I really did. I'm glad you put the caster on there.
Well, the mic's on, so I said caster.
That's right.
You got something in your mouth?
I do.
What is that, a hair?
No.
Oh, man. Wow.
Quinoa.
You must have had a really great Thanksgiving, Carrie.
I did. It's still coming out. Spitting it up all over the place.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And like I said, we're not managing life today. And I'm not going to tell you about our guest until we finish talking about 48 hours.
But girls, you can just go to the internet and check him out. He's up on, he should be. I know Genevieve probably put his face all over our Facebook page.
All over.
Yeah, he's really good looking, girl. So go check it out. And then you're really going to want to hear what he has to say.
You're just saying that because he's sitting right next
totally.
To you.
Totally. That's why. He's not good looking at all.
But what's really important, he's engaged. By the way, what's really important is what he has to say. That is all about managing your life.
Not yours. He's going to manage mine. That's totally okay today.
No one can manage yours. Let's talk quickly about 48 hours because tonight is the world premiere of Gervie's Law on 48 hours.
That's the most important thing. So yeah, it is. And we'll see how much time they gave us. So,
right.
We'll
Are you see. A little bit nervous about this?
I am. I'm actually sweating. When you mentioned that, I broke out a little bit.
You look like it.
I'm a little worried. You know, you never know how these shows go. You think, okay, well, hopefully they're going to tell our side correctly. And, you know, they said they're fair and balanced. And you know about that.
Well, let's tell everyone, because it's been a couple of months since they were here filming us right here on Gervie's Law on KBC. And it was for a special Sweeps Week program that they are doing on
my dad's life.
No,
on what happened.
I was going to say, I forgot her name. What's her name again?
Jean Thompson.
She was on Cheers, wasn't she?
She was. She was the blonde with the big ponytail
that
ran around and talked in a high voice.
Yeah. So she's going to be featured, and we don't know what 48 Hours is going to do. They're doing an expose on everything that had happened surrounding your dad, Casey Kasem, and his wife, Jean.
So one of the producers said, "So please just watch it all the way through. Don't turn your television off in the first 5 minutes." I guess it's a warning for what Gene's going to say about me in the first 5 minutes of the show. But I'm so used to it, I don't think anything's going to faze me.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. I know that they were here filming, so Gervie's Law hopefully won't be on the cutting floor. But we'll find out. For all you fans, watch tonight. What time is it on?
10 o'clock.
And if you're listening to the podcast and this show has already aired,
there's a link that we'll put up at our Facebook page that anybody can watch it.
Yes. There's a link to the Facebook page that you will be able to watch the 48 hours show, and if it's really crappy, we probably won't put the link up.
That's right.
But we'll make sure that you hear this show. If you can hear it live, you're going to hear the one and the only Ben Nemtin, who is of The Buried Life. He's looking around here like he's not sure how to speak, although he is one of the best speakers that you will ever hear. He's a keynote speaker, internationally acclaimed and renowned. And he can't figure out how to put the microphone on.
No, it's actually his headphones. They're a little screwy in here.
You know, it's so amazing that it's Thanksgiving weekend, and this is the perfect guest to have on our show. Yeah. We've had so many wonderful guests. Some people are way too serious. But then you have someone who really knows about life. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy, but he really figured out about life, and he's got an amazing story. For those of you who are fans of The Buried Life, you will know all about him. He's a New York Times best-selling author, and his book, What Do You Want to Do Before You Die, will be reissued again, I think, this year. So we're looking forward to that. He starred the MTV show, for those of you who watched The Buried Life. And he went around, he's done such great work. When we talk about Thanksgiving, we're talking about being thankful for what we have and being able to do great things for others. Ben, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Oh, thank you.
What an introduction, huh?
That was a great introduction.
Usually they just have you stand up on a podium. You're talking to thousands and thousands of people because you're everywhere. And we were talking before the show how you've been traveling so much. But no one introduces you appropriately.
That's right. You need to come on the road with me. You need to introduce me every time.
I'll be the warm-up guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Of course.
And Carrie, yeah, you got to be there too.
Absolutely. I'm the comic relief. I mean, right?
Yes. You're the broadcaster.
Thank you. That's right. Exactly.
You know, I failed to say that you are a fellow Canadian from Victoria, British Columbia. And it just goes to show what us Canadians can do when we put our mind to it, but it wasn't really all that easy for you. People think, I mean, you're a good-looking guy, you're very smart, you speak amazingly well, you can convince people and have people listen to you and just on their knees, but it wasn't that easy, was it?
Mm-mm. No, I mean, and, you know, I think we all go through our own personal struggles and battles, and I absolutely went through a crushing low when I was in my first year university. So I was in Victoria, BC. I was going to school. I was excited. I had an academic scholarship. I played rugby. And so rugby is a big sport in Canada. And I was, you know, especially where I grew up, it was the epicenter of the national team. And so I had made the national team. And this was my biggest dream. And we were training for the World Cup in France. And I'd go to the park every day and practice my kicks because I played fly half, which is like the field goal kicker and the quarterback in one. So it's like high pressure. And so I'd practice every day. And then I started thinking, man, like, what if I miss an easy kick at the World Cup and blow everything? Like, this is my one shot. What if I'm right in front of the goalpost and I blow it? And I couldn't get that thought out of my head. And it would just kind of come back to me at night. Wow. And ultimately, it caused me to lose sleep. And then this lack of sleep and this anxiety caused me to slide into a depression. And I was kind of blindsided by this. You know, I never experienced anything like this before. I had a great group of friends. I was an outgoing guy. And all of a sudden, this anxiety and this depression stopped me from going to school. So I dropped out of school. Stopped me from going to rugby practice. Wow. So I got dropped from the rugby team. And I really became a shut-in in my parents' house. I wasn't able to leave the house. So I was I was just kind of totally crippled by this. And
how old were you at the time?
I would have been just after high school going. So yeah, 19. 20. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until my friends came at the end of that semester that I had dropped out of. And I'd really become a recluse. And they said, Ben, we're going to go to a new town to work for the summer. We want you to come. And I didn't feel like doing anything, but they sort of helped me pack my bags. And anyways, I go to this new town. And only then do I slowly start to come out of this feeling, you know? And there are many things that contributed to my recovery, and we can talk about those later. I mean, I think that it's important for everyone to know some tools and tricks to have them get out of any type of funk. But for me, it was like, I got a job, so I started feeling some self-worth, you know, like some sort of purpose in some way. I started talking about what I was going through for the very first time. So I wasn't hiding it all.
You know, Carrie, people just don't talk about their feelings and emotions. And we've talked about this on the show before. And in fact, Ben knows about this. One of my best friends, actually coincidentally from Victoria, British Columbia, started the movement Buddy Check for Jesse because his son unfortunately committed suicide. Right. And they started talking to hockey teams in Canada. It's expanded into the United States. Talk about your feelings. Talk about what's going on. And that's what was going on with you.
Yeah, because I thought I was the only one that was feeling it. But the irony was every single person around the world goes through some sort of crisis in their life. And so, you know, it's an absolute, it's a natural thing for humans to go through these downs. So at the time, I didn't know that. And a lot of people that age don't know that. And that's why it's so important to talk about it. So I started talking about it. And then I started meeting young people that were really inspiring, that in this new town, they had started their own businesses, they had traveled the world. And I thought on the way home from that trip, I was starting to feel sort of back to myself a little bit. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and only surround myself with people that inspire me, people like I just met at this new town. And so I came home and I sort of surveyed all my friends to see who checked that box, and not many did, but I knew of this one kid that made movies in the summers. And I was like, I want to make a movie. And so his name was Johnny. And I called him up and I was like, Johnny, let's make a movie. And he was like, you know what? I just talked to my friend Dave, and I called his older brother Duncan, and the four of us got together, started talking about a movie, but we had no idea what we wanted to make a movie about. We just knew we had all these things that we wanted to do. And for some reason, we'd never done any of them.
I just have to say that I had a bout with anxiety too. It was horrible. It kept me up at night. I couldn't sleep. It was terrible, and it lasted for a while. And I got put on all these medications that actually made me worse. Really, like, I'm one of those people that, you know, it didn't work for. So I had to figure out what was going on with my body, and it was. And I did. I fixed it with the healthy way. For me, that's what I find the healthy way. But it was horrible. It was scary. And I'd wake up. I remember one time I woke up in the middle of the night and I didn't know if I was dead or alive. It was the scariest feeling I've ever had. So I totally understand that. And there are ways. And one of the things is, my dad always said, if you want to feel better about yourself, you want to have self-esteem, and you want to stabilize things, get a job. Get a job.
You know, you have to take one step at a time. And that's what Ben's talking about. You know, so many people suffering, and then they start moving forward little by little. And it's an amazing story. And we're going to have to take a break really quickly. But after the break, you'll hear about Ben's journey with the four of you, Dave, Duncan, and Johnny, and how they turned this negative into amazing positives and all the good that you have done. You don't want to miss it, folks. It's so interesting. I saw Ben speak. I was floored by hearing him speak and his whole story. We're going to talk about that after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
Right now, the Home Depot has up to 40% off appliance special buys, plus up to $500 in instant savings, like the Samsung 6-piece kitchen suite and laundry pair, with Black Friday savings of over $2,000. Want to upgrade the kitchen and laundry room? This is how, with Black Friday savings on appliances. Now, at the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. Gas dryer extra instant savings require a minimum purchase of 2 select appliances to qualify. See store for details, valid through November 29th.
You'll love this. Macy's Black Friday Supervisor are back, and they're awesome. Find incredible savings on furniture, mattresses, and rugs. Lounge out on a Lodi or Bernada sofa, your choice, $399. Sleep in on a Monroe or Canyon queen bed, your choice, $279. Or get a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases over $599. Hurry in for Black Friday Furniture, Mattress, and Rug Supervise now through November 24th at Macy's. Savings off regular prices. Exclusions apply.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, lifting Murphy's Law to the highest level on Talk Radio 790 KABC. It's been all over, and it's been all over you.
It's a beautiful day. Yeah. It is a beautiful day when we're here with Ben Nemtin from The Buried Life. His message of what is possible and what you can do has been a part of so many shows, major media like Today Show, Oprah, CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS, Dr. Drew's Love Line. Everything you can think of. And we mentioned Dr. Drew because, of course, he's here on KBC. That's one thing. You know, we were talking before the break about a couple things that Ben and I have in common. One of them being Canadian. The other is Oprah.
Being on the Oprah show. I don't know if I want to start talking.
I don't know if you want
to talk about my appearance, but I was one of the most famous guests on Oprah.
I'd say infamous.
Infamous guest. And Oprah always said when she was at the East Bank Club in Chicago that people used to come up to her while she was on the treadmill and they'd say, was that guy for real? Was that Alan Gervey for real? So if you haven't seen that, you can also Google it, see me when I was a lot younger on Oprah. But Ben, was it number 124 that said be on Oprah?
Yeah, I think we added that one.
Out of 100, 124 was be on Oprah.
Yeah, that was a pretty incredible moment. I think mainly because I think it was the first time our mothers took us seriously, you know, in terms of what we were doing.
Like putting together a movie?
Yeah.
Like being on Oprah.
Yeah, Oprah.
I'm going, well, wait, hold on. We took a quick break, but we didn't hit, like, is this what the movie led to?
No.
It was...
yes, I want to know.
Well, like,
we're talking about the 100
I get the
list.
Oprah thing. Right, but...
So I want to hear about Oprah
There were
Carey.
Four guys. It started something.
Yeah,
we didn't
we're
going
to get back to that. We're going to get back to that. We're jumping around a little bit here. But I want to hear about the mothers because his mother was so proud of him for being on Oprah. My mother wouldn't speak to me for being on Oprah. And Oprah called Ben truly inspiring. Aww. She didn't say that to me.
No.
She said I was not inspiring, but Ben was truly inspiring. Tell us about that.
So, you know, this was, I think, maybe her last season. And it's actually kind of a crazy story because the day that we did the first call with the Oprah producers, we had actually just crossed off the biggest thing on our list. Like the one thing that we had put on the list that was... we never thought we could ever do. It was really, we put it on as a joke. And it was to play basketball with President Obama. And we managed to play basketball with President Obama at the White House. He surprised us on the White House basketball courts. And we were late for our first call with the Oprah producers. And it was the most outrageous day because we said, oh, we're sorry we're late. We were playing basketball with President Obama at the White House.
And by the way.
Yeah. And so this was that. And the thing about that was so wild was that was the day that it truly kind of dawned on us that you can do anything. You know, that was really the kind of straw that broke the camel's back, where we had put all these things on our bucket list that we never thought we could do. They were truly impossible dreams. And playing basketball with President Obama was the pinnacle of that. And when it finally happened, it was sort of this moment like, well, I guess you can do anything. And I think that's why I'm such an advocate of having a list, period, because one, it's a reminder of the things that are really important to you. Because if you don't have something that reminds you of the things that are really going to fill you up in a meaningful way, they get pushed till tomorrow and the next day, because there's no deadlines around your personal goals. So they're always the easiest to get pushed. So ultimately, people end up not doing them.
And that's your number one on your list of five. Write down your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that just creates a bit of accountability. And once you start to cross off some things that you initially thought you couldn't do, because you will eventually do them, you just have this kind of thing, this something clicks in you where you sort of just believe that you have the ability to do anything. And so anything that comes along in the future, you know, you may doubt yourself, but ultimately you have this deep and sort of this core belief that you can do it if you really want it enough.
Right.
And if you try hard enough. And so that kind of rewrites your DNA in a way and just like allows you to live your life in a different way, really. You know, that's kind of like the core.
So many people don't believe that. And I surround myself again with people who inspire me, who are doers, who help people. And then the people who just don't believe that if you don't think a certain way, that will change your trajectory in life. It's so true. And I have, you know, I saw this, what you have is about doing the impossible and says making the impossible possible. And when I keynote speak, one of my speeches is say yes to the impossible. Mm-hmm. Don't let anything stop you. And that is a mindset. And once you get in that mindset, you can do anything. But most people, they will put a doubt in there. Well, maybe not. Maybe I can't. And then you're done.
Yeah.
You have to believe that it's possible. And that will change the trajectory of your life.
But
it's
you
very
know,
true.
Interestingly, you can say it and talk about it. But how many people played basketball with President Obama and then, what is it, the next couple of days you're with Oprah? I mean, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
It was totally. And it was never a place that we thought we would ever be. You know, this whole thing started as a 2-week road trip. It was supposed to be my friends and I going out on the road, crossing things off our list and helping other people cross things off their bucket list. And we were going to make a little movie, a 2-week road trip, make a movie. And that was going to be the end of it. But what happened is, surprisingly, people heard about it. They saw our list online and they would reach out to us and be like, hey, I saw number 9 ride a bull. I can help you. I saw, you know, make a toast to a stranger's wedding. Come to my buddy's wedding. I can get you in.
So cool.
You
know? So cool.
And then people sending us their dreams of things that they had always wanted to do, asking for our help. And it kind of hit a chord. And again, remember, this is like small town on the west coast of Canada. And so we just thought, we got to keep doing this. So we do it every summer, making this documentary. And it grew and grew and grew until finally we thought, well, let's go after some of the bigger list items, like number 53, make a TV show. So we cut our own pilot. And we sold it to MTV in the States, moved down, crossed off number 53. You know, then we went after...
Where were you getting the financing? Because you had the motorhome or whatever it was, and I know you had dreams of having this beautiful motorhome, but it turned out to be what?
A 1977 Dodge Coachman RV. Yeah. We put streamers on the side for speed. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
But there's a lesson in that. You don't have to do everything perfect. You know, you may have these dreams of having the beautiful motorhome, but it worked. The 1977 RV worked.
Yeah. I mean, it was the only thing. We were going to walk or bike or drive. That was all. We were going to do it no matter what. So we were begging, borrowing, and stealing to make this first tour happen, the second tour happen, where we went on the road to cross things off our bucket list. And so this is 2006. We're in college. And I worked 2 jobs. I would cold call companies out of the phone book at the time, right? Yeah. And I just pretended we had a production company. I said, we're making a documentary. I think you're going to want to be involved. Can I talk to your CEO? And I'd just get some patch through the CEO and I'd tell him about the film, and a local juice company paid for our gas.
Wow.
We got, built our own website, worked 2 jobs so we can buy a camera on eBay, made matching t-shirts, you know, and then we got this art. We borrowed an RV. We pulled this RV out of a swamp and you know, the mechanic said it wouldn't make it back. And we just decided to go for it, even though we couldn't afford to tow it back if it, you know, stopped working.
Had you created that bucket list, the 100 things to do before you die at that time, or did that evolve?
Yeah, we had, before we left, we made the list. So, you know, we started talking about making this movie. My friend Johnny was sitting in English class at McGill University, and his professor assigns him a poem called The Buried Life. It's a 150-year-old poem, and something in the poem strikes him. He brings it back to us. He says, guys, read this poem. And it essentially talked about how the day-to-day buries what you really want. And you have moments when you're inspired, but ultimately the monotony or, you know, the day-to-day school, work, whatever, buries your personal dreams and ambitions. And we thought, wow, this guy wrote this 150 years ago. I guess we're not the first people to feel like this. Let's call this movie The Buried Life. And then we decide to ask ourselves this question, what do you want to do before you die? Because the only thing that really unburied these dreams was to actually digest the fact that we were mortal, the fact that we were not going to live forever, therefore we had a limited amount of time.
Right.
That put things in perspective very quickly. And so we thought, okay, if we're going to die, what do we want to do before that happens? And that's where the list was born. So then we made this list of 100, and we pretended, you had 2 rules when you wrote the list. You had to pretend you had $100 million in your bank, and you had to pretend that you could do anything. So we wrote the list as if
we
were—
Was it just the four of you?
Just the four of us, yeah. We all—
You didn't get input from others?
No. No one. Really? We didn't even tell people what we were doing. So it was, you know, a lot of them were collective dreams. Some of them were just individual dreams. Dave wanted to get married in Vegas. You know, that he was the only one.
And how did that work out after he did?
Yeah, well, he got it annulled. He could probably talk with a divorce lawyer.
Get Laura Wasser's number.
And then we thought, okay, there's no way we can accomplish these dreams on our own. We're going to need the help of other people. So how about every time we cross something off our list, we help a stranger we meet along the way cross something off their bucket list. And
that's what's really amazing about it.
Yeah. And that was the mission. So that was it. We were going to take 2 weeks off our summer jobs to go on the road before we went back to school, cross off our list, help other people. But again, it just started to kind of blossom, and people wanted help with their dreams. People wanted to help us with our dreams. And this 2-week road trip ended up lasting 10, 12 years.
Wow. And going strong.
Mm-hmm. Helping people makes not only them feel great,
yeah.
but it makes you feel great as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people that have said, hey, come out and help me do this. Hey, come out. And they'll do it, you know, for the first time, actually step outside their comfort zone and go to a disaster zone or help feed people at a soup kitchen. And they're like, this is great. And they always come back feeling so much better. Like, that was amazing. I've never done that before.
And, you know, Carrie, it's interesting because number two on your five steps is talk about your dreams.
Yeah.
And you talk about that in your presentations, in your wonderful talks to corporate, to, you know, where I saw you was at a legal organization. All of these things, people don't realize if you talk about it, you never know what's going to happen. You're talking about people who were donating things, were saying, I'm going to help you with this, because you talked about what you wanted to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so two very important things, what Carrie said and what you said. So first, you know, I'll just jump back to what Carrie said about helping people, because when you help someone, they just did a study that they found that it's the only thing that you, that when you help someone else, it lights up your head and your heart at the same time. So when you help someone, if we're talking about things to do to get yourself out of a dark place, a place where you feel stuck, you help someone else, that helps you, because you can't think about how crappy you feel and about someone else
at
the same time. You don't have the capacity in your brain. So what happens is when you take yourself out of your own head, you help someone else and you build a connection. So the other thing that helps when you're feeling down is connectedness, right? So you build that connection when you help someone. And back to sharing your dreams, ultimately you don't know who can help you if you don't talk about your list.
Right.
So that's one of the most important things to actually accomplish your goals is talking about it. And most people don't talk about their list because they're afraid of what other people might think or they're afraid of failure. And both those things are not totally true.
You know, it's incredible because so many things on the list are so interesting. Others are helping people. It's a real mix of doing good, but also enjoying life. We have to take a quick break. We want to talk about number 108. Do you know what number 108 is?
Oh, no. What is it?
Have a beer with Prince Harry.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's my favorite, 38, which I've done. I've got this off the bucket list. 38, kiss the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was one of the first.
That. All of us Canadian guys, you know, I love what you say about rugby. Why don't you say what number sport rugby is in Canada?
Yeah, so I think it's probably third. Behind hockey and hockey, yeah.
Behind hockey and hockey?
On that note, we got to take a quick break. We're here with Ben Nempton. We're talking about the buried life, 100 things to do before you die. The book is called What Do You Want to Do Before You Die? New York Times best-selling author with his three colleagues, Dave, Duncan, and Johnny. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update, I'm Steve Cumming. Migrants hoping for a better life want to apply for asylum in the United States, but the numbers are against them. In many cases, they are escaping violence from street gangs back home. The San Ysidro Port in San Diego only processes between 60 and 100 asylum claims per day. There are an estimated 5,000 migrants in Tijuana waiting to make a claim. Immigration statistics show that about 80% of Central Americans who file claims are deemed to have a credible fear of returning home in their initial interview. Still, only about 10% of asylum claims are successful. The number of people seeking asylum has ballooned to more than 750,000. Meanwhile, the U.S. has worked out a deal with the incoming government of Mexico to host migrants while their asylum claims move through the U.S. courts. Mexico's new president takes office December 1st. The deal is preliminary, and many details still need to be worked out. KABC SoCal weather mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-50s to around 60. More news coming up in 30 minutes. Continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Are you ready for the intuitive LG V40 ThinQ for just $20 a month? Right now at Sprint, you can get the only phone in the market with 5 cameras to capture moments from every single angle. That's right. You can get the LG V40 ThinQ at Sprint for $20 a month, regularly priced at $40 a month with an 18-month Sprint Flex lease. Hurry to Sprint. This limited time offers for new customers with approved credit and a new line of service or existing customers with an eligible upgrade. Need more reasons to hurry to Sprint? Get a free 49-inch LG TV when you lease the V40 ThinQ while supplies last. Requires registration at LG.com and a new line of service. There's never been a better time to try our network built for unlimited. Switch to Sprint today and get your LG V40 ThinQ for $20 a month and a free 49-inch LG TV. Visit your local Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Pricing after $20 per month credit. Applied within 2 bills. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. TV ships in 8 weeks. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes tax. Subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law. Turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
A singer in a smoky room. A smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on.
Okay, Carrie, here we go.
Strangers.
I cannot sing this.
Come on, sing it.
Down the boulevard.
Isn't this Steve Perry?
It's called Journey.
Yeah, Steve Perry. It's like one of the most amazing voices in the world. I don't sing that way. I don't sing even close to that.
Well, they replaced him with a little Filipino guy.
Now Pineda. I love Journey. I love them.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah. Maybe if it was a little lower, I could sing.
Apropos for the show today. We're talking to Ben Nemtin, who is of the Buried Life, and I'm having problems with my headphones. Oh, there they are. They're back on.
There you go.
Now I can hear myself. Okay. I'm good. Thanks, Wayman. So, yeah, there's just so much to talk about. We were talking about during the break. We could talk about this forever and ever. I've been getting all these calls while we're on break, and people want to know, Ben, how do they get to your website? Because there's something on your website that is really a great taste of what you do and what you say. And that is the commencement address at the University of Utah in 2018, which is this past year. And you can get a little taste of it. How can people watch? I think it should be a mandatory viewing for everyone, especially during this Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, thank you for saying that. You can just go to bennemtin.com. So my full name, BENNEMTIN.com. It's on the front page there. You scroll down and you can watch it.
It's about 20 minutes.
It's about 20 minutes.
Probably the most worthwhile 20 minutes you will ever have this weekend on Thanksgiving when you're thinking about others, hopefully, and being thankful for what you do have, even if you don't have everything. And then a lot of times, people actually, now I'm getting texts on what some of the 100 things to do before you die are. And I want to just say a couple of them. You tell us a little bit about them. So before the break, I teased about having beer number 108, which is more than 100, but you know, it's okay. There's probably more than 100. Have a beer with Prince Harry. How did that go down?
So we knew someone that knew someone that knew someone at his, you know, in his office, essentially. And so we wrote a letter. You know, we knew that we could get a letter into his office, and we wrote a little one-page letter of what we were about and what we were trying to do and that we were going to be in London. And it was kind of a moonshot. You know, we just sort of threw it out there, and he read it and he accepted. And so we
so
met
cool.
him in the sort of this private area below this restaurant.
Where was this?
It was in London. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the restaurant. And, you know, we thought we maybe have a drink with him. We end up having dinner and a few drinks. Well, I definitely had a few drinks.
That's what the picture shows.
Yeah, I was a little That's wobbly. Cool. I crossed it off a couple of times, have a few beers with Prince Harry. And he was just such a genuine, nice, awesome guy that it was just really fun to hang out with him. And so that was that.
Another guy that helps so many people. That guy is just all about help. He love him. Yeah.
And I think that's probably why he was open to meeting you guys. I mean, I'm sure he'd read about you and he'd heard about it and figured, hey, they're doing good. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about this Thanksgiving weekend. You have done so much for so many people. When you look at the commencement address in Utah, you see about unfortunate gentleman who had a traumatic brain injury.
Yes.
And how you helped him, went to the basketball game. What is your favorite? And I know you talk about the robotic arm as well when you speak. You talk about the little girl with the robotic arm. Tell us about how you've helped others and how you've made it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think the bionic arm is a good example because, you know, we talked about talking about your list. And most people don't talk about their dreams because they're afraid that people might think they can't do it, or they're afraid that if they fail, people, they might look bad, right?
Right.
So here's a girl who's born in Ohio. She's born with one hand, and her biggest dream is to have a bionic arm, which is a robotic prosthetic. Very expensive. Physical therapy is very expensive. And she's in a small town. Her parents don't have the means to get her a bionic hand. But her friends know that she wants a bionic hand because she's talked about it. And so they decide to start a hashtag on Twitter called Hand for Tori. I get sent this hashtag. Some of my friends says, check this out. And the four of us look into it and we learn the story and we think, God, we got to figure out a way to try and get this girl a bionic hand. And we reached out to the one of the best, a place called Hanger Clinics. They make the best bionics in the world. And we told them Tori's story and they donated us an arm
and
the physical therapy.
Wow.
And so we brought Tori to LA under the guise of something else. And we surprised her with this hand in front of a lot of people, actually. It was kind of, she was very surprised. But that moment was so meaningful for her and so touching to us because it just meant so much to her. And then I followed sort of back to Ohio where she learned to use the arm for the first time and really saw her dad, you know, see his daughter, you know, really like experience this thing that she's wanted for so long.
Amazing.
And so that really
And the video is incredible on that. I mean, if you don't cry on that, you're not
I started
human.
Crying now. I'm tearing up. I mean, it's so beautiful.
You have to see the video.
So you can, if you search on YouTube, Tori, T-O-R-R-I, and The Buried Life, you'll see the video. And so, and then I ran into Tori, sort of reunited with her a couple months ago. I spoke at Bowling Green State University, and she's going to school at Bowling Green State.
Wow.
And so she's, you know, in Ohio, she's studying social work because she wants to work in the homeless shelter in her small town. And she said that because of the experience of getting the arm, she thought she wanted to pay that forward and help other people. So I mention this because when you help somebody, you don't, it doesn't just help you, right? By actually giving you that feeling that we talked about. And it doesn't just help that person. It also helps the people around them, you know, their friends, their family, and sometimes every person that comes into contact with them moving forward, which is what happened with Tori. And I also mentioned it because of Alan, what you said about this sharing your list. She could have easily not ever said anything about wanting a bionic arm. She could have thought, you know what? There's no way I'll ever get it. It's too expensive. I'm not even going to talk about it to my friends because it's embarrassing. But she did. She talked about it. And then her friends talked about it.
Right.
And then we talked about it, and then it happened. And that's as simple as it happens.
And she probably thought of that as a moonshot. And you talk about moonshots. Number four on your list is take moonshots.
Real quick, I want to know about the arm. Does it still fit her? Is she still using it?
Yeah, the arm still works. She brought it to Bowling Green State. Yeah.
And it's still, she can still fit into it.
Yeah.
And
all
the good that she's going to do in her life because of the choices that she's made for her career all goes back to the confidence, the happiness that you provided her by getting her that arm.
Yeah, and it was, and that ultimately ends up meaning the most. You know, when I look back, it's these, when you help someone else, it just really resonates with you in a long-term way. You can tell it's just going to stay with you until you die. So, and as you mentioned, so her dream was a moonshot, and I think moonshots are very important. And if, you know, we're basically now, if you think about these five steps, these are the five steps to make the impossible possible. So if you're going after any impossible dream, we talked about write it down. That's important because you make it real. We just talked about sharing it because you don't know who can help you if you don't talk about your list. And moonshots. So moonshots is just a big dream, a big goal, which 9% of the world don't believe they can do big things. So they shoot for realistic goals. But what that means is that the level of competition is highest for those realistic goals. So if you shoot for unrealistic goals, there's less competition.
That's right.
So you have a higher chance of getting it done. And that happens.
One of the worst things you can say to me is, be realistic. Oh.
Yeah.
Like that, the fire like lights up in my head and I'm like, well, watch me. Like, and, you think I'm going to get here?
Carrie, you've done so much good for others with all of your volunteer work at disasters.
Thanks,
you've gone
Alan.
To the places where people won't go.
Yeah.
Ben, you've done so much. And, we joke around when we talk about, maybe we talk about, what is that number 50?
You're really, I'm having a hard time remembering.
You're not
the
memorized, Ben? What's going on here?
I love looking at his face.
Blank stare, huh?
So 50 was, streaking on a field and getting away with it.
Oh, Lord.
There's a lot of them racing sailboats. Those things aren't that important in the big scheme. They're fun. They're great. It's part of it. But when you talk about some of these other things, that's number 5 on your list, give.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving of yourself, you're giving of your resources, you're helping people. So what this list is, it's a combination of giving and helping, number 5, but also enjoying your life and getting the most out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, it's important. I think you bring up a good point with some of these, more flippant list items that we had. And, as you grow, your list changes. And, I would say the most important thing is to really just check in and see what's important to you and write it down and then check in on it a couple months later and write your list. And, things change, you grow. And as you grow, your list grows. But everyone's list is completely different. And you might have something that feels that may seem totally random or might not be connected to anything that other people might understand, but that doesn't matter. It's just that it's important to you. So it might be grow a mustache, mm-hmm. or it might be get my mom a house. And all of those things are important because what you're really just trying to do is not think about what other people want for
right.
you in your life and think about what you want in your gut and in your heart. And that's where the list should grow. And it evolves. But ultimately, that's sort of your compass for the direction that you're going in your life.
The book is What Do You Want to Do Before You Die, a New York Times bestseller. And it's exactly that. When I was reading this book, you think about what others are thinking. Because I'm not going to give it away. People have to go out and get it. I picked out one, though. I opened up, they don't have page numbers. It says, I want to have a threesome with John Stamos. Okay. Well, and Sandra Bullock.
Wait, what? Who is that? Is that you?
No. These are
go
people
ahead.
That have sent us their list, and we've taken our favorites. Anything that's touched us some way, made us laugh, or, made us think, and we got different artists to illustrate them.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
There's some hilarious ones.
Before I die, I want a second chance. I'm just reading it.
I want a second chance. You have to do it right. You have to do it
I can't be valid. They're so meaningful because we all can identify. You read it and you put yourself on some kind of, pedestal. And then you read what real people are thinking about with their lives. And it makes you feel real. It makes you feel human. We got only one more segment. I wish we could talk to you all day, but we got to take a break. We'll talk a little bit more about the book and the book that's coming out, which will be, they're reissuing this book.
We actually just re-released it. So it's a revised edition and it should be out now on Amazon.
Amazon for the book, re-release, What Do You Want to Do Before You Die? He's Ben Nemtin, the From the Buried Life. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
This Sunday, Dirty John premieres.
I'm John.
I'm Deborah.
The critically acclaimed podcast you couldn't stop listening to.
John gives me so much.
Becomes the television event you can't miss.
You don't know this man at all.
He's lying to you about everything.
What?
He's going to ruin your life.
Connie Britton.
Why are you doing this?
Eric Bana.
You don't even know who I am.
Let me in!
Dirty John premieres this Sunday night at 10, only on Bravo.
At Target, Cyber Monday deals are here to give you all the holiday feels. This Monday only, take an extra 15% off top gifts and more at Target.com. That's 15% off an Element 50-inch TV or a Keurig K-Mini. 15% off cute kids apparel like a flip sequin sweater and 15% off all the coolest toys. This Monday only, take an extra 15% off top gifts and more at Target.com. Restrictions apply. See Target.com for details.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Oh. On this week's OKLA, the As We Were Saying podcast, we catch up with Jillian. We get the latest on her recovery.
Download Jillian Barbary, Steve Edwards, and me, Dorothy Lucy, on the OKLA podcast. Hey, it's free on iTunes. Tune in and KABC.com/OKLA.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
In your heart, and I know that it is love. It's a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try,
what is this?
Heal the World, no, right? Is it Heal the World? Right. Yeah.
Well, I want to hear the...
The Heal the World part?
The Heal the World part.
Wait, no? Not his pretty voice?
There are ways to get there.
No?
There can are you ways sing Heal the there. World?
He probably.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're not going to. Okay. No. We're talking to Ben Nemtin. It's called The 100 Things to Do Before You Die. This has been a really incredible hour. For those of you who are listening, you want to share it with your friends on our podcast. It's at gervieslaw.com, gervieslaw.com. You can go to our Facebook page and you can share every show. And this would be a good one to share. Ben, we got to congratulate you because you recently got engaged. That's really something. And
thank you.
Pictures from the engagement, it looks like it was amazing. I'm sure everything went perfectly well. You had a car to get you out to Utah, no problem. Their rental car place.
Wait, I wonder about this Utah thing. Okay, can you explain for people and me that I need to understand this thing in Utah?
Yes. So if you go to my Instagram, Ben Nemtin, and you'll see the photo, and that kind of will kind of frame the
follow
story.
Follow for follow.
Okay, deal. So my fiance and we'd always wanted to go to Moab. I got invited to speak in Moab, and I thought, okay, this is the perfect time. You know, it's 5 months away. I got time. So I, you know, got the ring. I asked her folks and got everything organized. And I found a photographer because I knew I wanted to take photos of it. Found a photographer in Salt Lake City that always went to Moab, and he knew the best spots. And he sent me this photo of this giant arch, this rock arch.
Right, yeah.
And it's called Delicate Arch, mm-hmm. and it's on the license plate. It's like iconic. And so I was like, oh my God, okay, yes. And he's like, okay, well, we got to do it at sunrise because there's, you know, not that many people there, or else there's hundreds of people. And so I'm like, okay, we get in Friday night, I'll meet you Saturday morning and we'll do it. So we get there and the rental car that I rented isn't there. So I have to actually call the photographer to pick us up, pretending he's someone else. And we go up there, we get a photo in front of the arch, and then I drop down on a knee and propose.
Was she crying?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
That's sweet.
Amazing.
So that's very actually, sweet. Yeah, that is a list item that I do know, number 78, which is Fall in Love. So that's,
you know what?
Officially off
you
the list.
You just redeemed yourself. Right. Michelle is going to be so happy that she knows that you knew number 78, which is
Fall in Love.
Fall in Love. So we wish you all the best
Thank
with that.
You.
You know, you talk about your future. You're going to get married and, you know, you have the love of your life and everything, but you look back on your past and we have so much that we learn from our past and from our parents specifically. Mm-hmm. Your father, well, let me ask you, it's Major Conrad Flaps.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been just an incredible experience. A guy who just loves life, mm-hmm. having fun, a performer who has made so many people, kids, happy throughout his life. It must be so meaningful for you and how you got motivated to do what you do.
Yeah, I think looking back, it was definitely one of the key instigators of this whole thing. And so, yeah, my dad is a theatrical clown and he plays the fiddle and he's been playing music and, you know, clowning his entire life. And, you know, and I think when I was young, I was embarrassed by it, you know, because it wasn't like my dad wasn't going to work every day and I didn't really know, you know, how to explain it to other kids. And now, you know, I couldn't be more proud because he's the happiest guy I've ever met.
You look at his video, we've been promoting your videos. His videos are equally as entertaining.
Is he still doing it?
Yeah, he still does
Major
it.
Conrad
Flaps. Yeah, he plays music and he, you know, him and my mom just travel around Mexico. They're in Mexico for 3 months right now. And, you know, I think that kind of soaked into me by osmosis, just they're sort of following the things that they love to do. And it's been a real inspiration.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an inspiration. And when you go and see Ben speak, you get so inspired. One of the things that he does, I don't know if you do it in all your talks, is you ask the audience to think of what would be on their list. And it makes you reflect. And I was sitting beside two people I didn't know. And the guy next to me, you know, he says, oh, what's on your list? And I was thinking, and I came up, I haven't disclosed this to you, but what was on my list was to stop working for 6 months and just spend it with my family. Just spend 6 months with my kids. I have a 4- and a 5-year-old, watching them grow up, being with them, being at every activity and event. And the guy beside me said, you got to do it. You got to leave your law practice. You've got to let...
Well, would you take a hiatus?
I don't know. I have to talk to Ben about it. But...
good thing I'm here.
Yeah, good thing you're here.
Well,
Carrie, go ahead.
I just want to say, I think that, you know, those things always seem much more difficult when you're running them through your mind on your own. But I think once you start to actually chat them out, you know, whether it be with your colleagues, like there's always a way, you know. I have my cousin who's someone I look up to the most. Every 5 to 7 years, he quits his job, takes a year off, and he spends it with his family.
Wow.
And then he comes back, and he's always about 10x where he was. He just jumps up. This is someone that's running Facebook in Canada, started eBay in Canada.
Wow.
You know, and
so awesome.
He is an unbelievable guy. And so it is possible. And that's why it's so important to surround yourself with people that inspire you, because they lift you up just by nature of being around them. So,
I think that's people that tell you you can't, it's because they're not doing.
Yeah.
Or that tell you don't do that, it's because they've never done. So ask them, you know, well, why would you say that to me? Have you ever done that? Most of the time they'll say no. They've had no experience. They don't understand anything. Get rid of the people that tell you you can't. Mm-hmm. So very important.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that in every book that talks about motivation, inspiration, get rid of toxic people. So very true.
And as soon as you say impossible, you have to think impossible is possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Ben says. Now, I just want to review before we have to close the show, the 5 steps, because people have to listen to this. The 5 steps, tell us about how you can take what you've done with The Buried Life, 100 Things to Do Before You Die, all of your motivational speaking and help for everyone, and put it into 5 steps.
Yeah, so I got this question a lot. How do I go after something that feels impossible or is just such a big goal? I don't know where to start. It's overwhelming. And so I kind of looked back at the last, you know, decade plus of crossing things off, succeeding and failing. And I noticed there were patterns of things that we did again and again. It was the same things, you know, it didn't matter what the goal was. We just continued to do these same things methodically. And so I sort of broke those down in these 5 steps. And the first is, as we talked about, write it down. Because what you do by writing something down is you take something that's intangible and you make it real, right? So you're actually breathing life into your dreams. That's the first step. The second is share, because if you don't talk about your dreams, no one can help you. The third is be persistent, because people trick themselves into thinking that external forces are the reason that they fail, but the truth is you fail because you stop trying.
That's right.
Step 4 is take moonshots. As I mentioned, most people don't believe they can do great things, so they shoot for the middle, and that's the most crowded space. Mm-hmm. Also, having a big dream motivates you to get out of bed every morning and attracts the best people by your side. And then the final step is 5, which is give.
Yeah.
Because when you help someone else, it fills you up in a way that doing something for yourself doesn't. And it also helps you get things done, because when people see you out in the world helping others, they want to help you.
Okay, so to that, this is the weirdest thing. I started helping with the fires. I'm part of a disaster relief group. So I since Haiti, I've been going to all the disasters all over the world. Mm. I started putting up me helping. I have had so many volunteers, including celebrities that I don't even know, say, can I go with you? Can I help? What are you doing? I've taken three celebrities out with me like that I now know because all I did was post a video of me helping.
And not only celebrities, you take out a lot of
I took 50 people, but I'm saying people that just, no, there are about 50 people that have actually helped me with the fires, with horse trailers, people that deal with, I mean, anything from firemen to actors or whatever. But it's crazy that people like that, that I would think would know how to do something, don't. They call me up and like, can we do that?
Mm-hmm. You know, Ben, we've run out of time. I just want to ask you, where do we go from here? You've been so inspirational, so motivational. Other than getting married, which we congratulate you on, what's going to be the future for Ben Nempton moving forward?
Well, first, thank you for having me in case I don't have time to do that at the end.
appreciate that.
So now we're working on number 19, which is make a movie, you know, our documentary. We started Barry Luck to make a documentary and we're coming to finish that. And, you know, for me, it's really just trying to spread the word on the things that we've learned because I think we just got really lucky and stumbled into this, you know, at a young age.
Right.
Where 76% of people get to the end of their life and their single biggest regret is not living their ideal self, right? So people regret the things they didn't do over the things they did on their deathbed. So my goal is to get more people out of that 76% and into the minority of getting to the end of their life and looking back and thinking, yeah, I feel good about that.
Yeah, well, congratulations awesome. For doing that up to now. The website is BenNemtin.com. You can find out more about Ben. Again, Ben, thanks so much for being on our special Thanksgiving show. We appreciate it. And to all of you, thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. Go to our Facebook page, go to gervieslaw.com, and we will see you same place, same time next week.